Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Caroline White, Deputy Editor of Boat International, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Katia Damborski, who is our Digital Editor. So, Katia, tell us what's been up with you.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for the warm welcome and the great introduction. Now, the listeners all know my title.
We were just having a chat about whether we should be introducing people's titles, and I thought it was presumptuous to assume that they would know who we were. So, Katia, Digital Editor, tell us what you've been up to.
Well, there's been a lot happening in the Med right now. So I've been kind of around there, a couple of trips to Italy recently. But a few weeks ago, we had the Riva Raduni. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation. Sorry, Italy. But that's like a rendezvous and a friendly rally for Riva boats. And they go between Monaco and Saint-Tropez. And I think it's every 2 years. So, you know, it's quite a nice event to do. And our colleague Raphael went to it. And it looks like he had a fantastic time. They kind of sailed up to Saint-Tropez, or not necessarily sailed, motored up to Saint-Tropez. Mm-hmm. And then had a lovely lunch on the beach, good hospitality. They had this like Range Rover experience as well.
Oh my goodness.
It looked like a really nice weekend.
Fantastic. And I heard the weather was a little bit mixed.
Yeah, it was a bit inclement. I mean, they had this big safety briefing beforehand because it was, you know, really quite big weather.
Wow.
Yeah. And a couple of the Reavers actually didn't make it. I mean, they didn't. they just turned around. They didn't.
They made it in a survival sense.
They made it in a survival sense. They didn't make it in a finish the rally sense. So they turned back. But yeah, and then the weather cleared up a little bit because it was the Monaco Energy Boat Challenge kind of immediately after the Riva event, and I went to the Energy Boat Challenge and had such a good time. Regular listeners will know that I go to this event every year, and I'm kind of trying to keep it under the radar from my colleagues because I don't want everyone else to start wanting to go to it because it's good fun. But it's organized by the Yacht Club de Monaco, and it's part of their whole environmental program. But I think this is my favorite of all their kind of environmental events because it's actually, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, getting these young kids out to build these boats and race them. And, you know, it's really, really incredible seeing what these kids can achieve. I mean, could you do that? Like build a boat from scratch and make it seaworthy and take it out and race it off Monaco?
No, it's crazy. Yeah. And it sounds like it's a real testbed for innovation. I know that Project Zero, which is this incredible Vitters boat, which is in build at the moment, designed by Vrypak, that I think has its origins in that competition. Mm. So Marnix Hoekstra from Vrypak was telling me that he was at the Monaco Energy Boat Challenge and he'd been working on electric propulsion there. And that was the sort of seed that led to this massive project that's ongoing, that's really innovative. So yeah, it's a really good thing for the industry, I think.
It is, yeah. It is definitely a catalyst. I mean, there's everyone who's doing something in environmental boating turns up and there's lots of presentations in the day and you get to meet everyone. So yeah, that does not surprise me in the least, but good to hear.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Katia. So a few housekeeping bits. The Boat Design and Innovation Awards are fast approaching. And if you want your yacht to be considered by our panel of judges, you need to nominate them now so that our judges can do some of the visits during the show season. So nominations for the Design and Innovation Awards 2025 are now open and will close on the 11th of October. The winners will be announced at the Superyacht Design Festival in 2025 in Kitzbühel, which is another fantastic event that you should definitely buy tickets to if you haven't already.
All righty. So short and sweet. We'll do brokerage picks this week now, shall we? Do you want to take it away, Caroline?
So yeah, we're at the point in the podcast where we pick our favourite brokerage boat for sale right now. And my pick of the week is Mousetrap, which has had a 1 million euro price drop. This 34 metre cat was built by the French yard JFA Yachts in 2012, and I believe she's still the world's largest carbon fibre cruising cat. She accommodates 8 to 9 guests in 4 cabins and also features loads of areas for socialising, including a spacious saloon, sheltered aft deck, sun deck, and a jacuzzi on the foredeck. Benefits of a catamaran include increased stability and a low draft. You get access to remote anchorages and shallow waters nearer the beach, which is always great. Mousetrap draws only 2.4 metres. She's also proved herself as a capable seafaring vessel, having crossed the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. So she offers a lot to a prospective buyer, and she's now asking 16.95 million euros with Fraser.
Okay, so you've got a nice, well-designed catamaran, nice low draft, lots of space for just, well, 17 million euros, right?
Yeah, you're going to come along with a bargain now, aren't you, Katia?
I am, because Ray, who listens to the podcast, will recall I'm toying with the idea of budget boats or Katia's cut price cruisers as my new business name. And this falls into this category. So this is a 29-meter Inarche yacht called Miss Sarah J. And this yacht is actually interesting because it was formerly owned by Billy Joel. So she was delivered in 2003 and then owned by Billy Joel from 2008. And she was refitted specifically to undertake long voyages. Do you know how much she's asking, Caroline?
I do not. Go on.
3.5 million euros.
Oh, that is a pretty good deal.
That's really good. So Ocean Independence have her listed. I think she's not to everyone's taste. You know, she's a classic Inarche. She looks quite, I always feel like they look a bit like a bird. I don't know how to describe it. Something about the foredeck looks a bit like a beak somehow. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, practical.
Yeah.
Really good storage in that foredeck well. And, you know, on the interior, simple, unfussy. You could do a lot with that interior. And at that price, you've got a lot of money left over to do what you want with it, I think.
Yeah. So he's had quite an interesting life in boats, Billy Joel. So this used to be owned by Billy Joel, I see. So in the early 2000s, I think he collaborated with Doug Zirn and CH Marine to design Vandetta. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do not.
So that was this 17-meter sort of big sister to the Shelter Island runabout. And it was a really pretty boat, 1920s style. Apparently he did that because he was concerned about the declining local boat building community in his in Long Island, which is where he lives. And then in 2016, he actually donated that boat to the International Seakeeper Society. So nice guy all round.
Nice guy, owns a lot of boats.
Yeah. Back to Miss Sarah J. This boat was part of a recent online feature we ran, I believe, about yachts for sale under 5 million euros. So really in your wheelhouse, Katia.
Absolutely.
So should we gallop through those boats in case anyone's on the hunt for a bargain?
Let's do that. And actually, do you know what? The first boat on here was a previous pick of mine.
Oh my God.
That's how committed I am. These cut price cruisers. It's a 31 meter Francesca, which was built by CCN, which is now owned by Balietto. She's got that striking golden brown exterior by Tommaso Spadolini. So kind of like a champagne hue. Again, not to everyone's taste, but look, she's got loads of accommodation, abstract artwork, an eye-watering top speed of 40 knots and storage for a Williams jet tender. According to her broker, Francesca has only been used privately and has recently completed her five-year survey. So she is asking 4.5 million euros with IYC.
Fantastic. So next up, we've got 25-meter Familia, which belongs to the Magellano 25 Metri series from Azimut Benetti. And that features a retro-style window arrangement and Ken Frevox chic and sophisticated exterior lines. There's a kind of penthouse-style master suite overlooking the sea, and the remaining three cabins are on the lower deck. The bow is set up for warm-weather cruising with a sofa that can be converted into sunbeds, and the sun deck has two tiers of lounging with extra sunbeds, a bar, alfresco dining, retractable sunroof. I mean, there's loads packed on the 25-meter boat there. And Familia is asking 4.2 million euros with Ocean Independence.
Nice. I really like those Magellano boats. I think they're very nicely done. Do you know what? This would be my top pick, though, this next one, because I think she's the largest of this list. Let me check. Yes, she is. And it's a Kodakasa. And I feel like the Kodakasa are quite, you know, they're vintage. They're, you know, they've got a particular look about them, kind of gentleman's cruiser vibes. So the broker has called this 35 meter, which is called Nightflower, a shiny example of classic Italian design. So she's delivered in 1987 and meticulously maintained since, with the most recent refits in 2019, 2020 and 2021. Highlights include a well-equipped gym, a sun deck with lounges and sun pads, and a ton of water toys, including a 2021 Saks-built outboard tender. And listen to this, you can actually house up to 30 people at quayside events. So I picked a winner there because that's going to be a good party boat as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look how much she's asking. She's asking 3.3 million with Fraser.
Euros, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a steal. I hope someone listening to the podcast buys it and then I'll ask Fraser for a little cut of that.
And if you have a big party on board, you know you've got to invite Katia.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay, well, last on the list is the 31-metre yacht Victory, which belongs to Newmarine's successful 102 RPH range with a two-colour exterior, which again isn't to everyone's taste, but it's rather eye-catching. I actually quite like it. Accommodation is across five cabins, including an owner's suite forward on the main deck for prime visibility. The main saloon is the social hub of the boat, benefiting from increased volume given by the model's pilot house design, and it's well illuminated by oversized windows. The flybridge has a four-person jacuzzi, a bar, and ample seating, a feature that allegedly makes her the perfect charter yacht, according to the broker. Victory is asking €3.95 million with Northrop & Johnson.
Nice, nice pick.
Yeah.
But no night flower.
Okay, well, we got four, well, in fact, five, if you include the first boat that we mentioned, which Miss Sarah J. Very interesting propositions, I think. So, Katia, let's move on to the news.
Yes, let's do that. So I'm going to kick off with one of the really big stories from the last week. When we saw this, we were kind of like, whoa, on the news desk. We said, whoa. It's the news about Marine Max shareholders responding to this acquisition offer from the founder of IGY Mariners. So this is kind of the update on the story. The original story is that the former founder and CEO of IGY Mariners offered to purchase up to 100% of Marine Max's YMRS business, and that comprises IGY Mariners, Fraser and Northrop & Johnson. So the IGY business was sold to Marine Max in 2022, and in an open letter, the former CEO alleged that IGY Mariners, Fraser and Northrop & Johnson were not a key focus for the business, and this was leading to falling revenues. So Marine Max has since responded, saying that we are in receipt of this letter and the Marine Max board of directors is open-minded and regularly evaluates bona fide opportunities to enhance shareholder value. And that's kind of the TLDR version of it. But it was quite, you know, it made us say, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, I mean, the original letter, which you can see online if you want to, it's publicly available. It's some quite punchy stuff in there. So it's from Andrew Farkas, who is CEO of Island Capital Group, as Katia mentioned. It gives four numbered points. I love a bullet point, so I'm going to lay them out here.
Please.
The first one is that IGY's adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortizations are down 27% and adjusted earnings per share down 43% compared to its initial guidance for this year. And the second point is that no new assets were acquired by IGY while competitors have raised capital and developed and acquired assets, putting IGY's competitive advantage at risk. Point three is the company has failed to advance any of the growth initiatives IGY highlighted in its sales process. And the final of the four points is that the CEO of IGY since 2010 has left IGY. So the letter, I mean, the letter's essentially saying that Marine Max isn't doing much for IGY and IGY isn't doing much for Marine Max. And I'll buy you out so you can invest that money in your core businesses. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, it's... as you said, bold move. Be curious to see how this all pans out. Yeah. But it is just an open letter at this point. I don't think Marine Max is necessarily, you know, jumping at that offer yet. We'll see.
Okay, shall we move on to your next story, Katia?
Yes. Do you want to take this one away, Caroline?
Sure. So the 59.5-metre Project 713 has departed FedShip's facilities to begin sea trials and is now believed to be called B, like the letter B. This marks the first sighting of her solar panelling and Davout lines up close. Project 713 will harness solar energy and HVO, hydro-treated vegetable oil, making it another important milestone in FedShip's roadmap to net zero yacht building by 2030. Features will include a glass bottom pool and a crow's nest.
Yeah, I think it's a crow's nest. I wrote this down, but it's kind of not really a crow's nest. I guess it's more of an observation deck, like completely open. I don't know if it's a flybridge. I don't think there's any control panels up there.
Is it up a pole, Katia?
No, not really up a pole, but it's on the mast. Is
okay.
I feel like it's, you couldn't really... I would call it a crow's nest because it's that kind of size.
Yeah.
But then I think maybe observation deck could be how you dress it up a bit.
Okay. Maybe. I mean, crow's nest sounds exciting to me. So,
and it's a nice looking boat. Have you seen the pictures?
I have a little while ago, yeah.
Lovely looking boat.
Yeah. So Katia, do you want to give us our next news story?
Sure. So another interesting story was about the Wally Wind 110. So I believe This is the first Wally sailing yacht to be built since Ferretti Group acquired Wally, or maybe it's the first custom or semi-custom.
I don't know, I'm afraid.
It actually says here, semi-custom sail model launched by Wally since its acquisition in 2019. So this unit's called Galma, and she is a 33.4 metre, and she was officially launched at the group's new arena site. So quite a few firsts for Wally, because obviously they acquired this new construction facility. This is a whole new line for them, which I understand has sold pretty well. They're very fast-looking and probably fast-performing as well, sailing yachts. Designed for racing and, you know, shooting around looking very Wally.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. So Naval Architecture comes from a German studio. Sorry, we're going to butcher the pronunciation slightly, but Jüdel and Vrolik and Co. And then interior and exterior lines are by Wally in collaboration with Santa Maria Magnolfi.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a very interesting, I mean, I would love to see that boat at Monaco.
Yeah, she's called Galma. You can add it to your, the list.
Yeah, we will. It's actually, I think, I'm pretty sure that's going to be in our Monaco show preview.
Brilliant. Great.
So moving from a fairly small sprightly yacht to a very, very big one, the 126.2 metre Lursen Explorer yacht Octopus has been sighted for the first time following a 9-month refit at Lloyd Werft in Bremerhaven in Germany. According to BoatPro, Octopus arrived at the shipyard in September 2023. While full details are to follow, confirmed works include her 20-year survey, full paintworks, and an AVIT upgrade. Octopus was delivered in 2003 for the late Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft with his childhood best friend Bill Gates in 1975. Allen was an avid researcher and historian who made several seminal discoveries on board the Explorer, including the shipwreck of Musashi, an Imperial Japanese battleship from World War II.
Yeah, I mean, she's an incredible explorer, really the OG of expedition yachts, and she's got every bit of kit you could possibly imagine on board. Interesting to see if it was just those technical upgrades, if she had anything more cosmetic done.
Yeah, we'll see. Data this week is brought to you by BoatPro. And Katia, would you like to take us into the numbers?
I'd love to, since I'm always in Italy. It seems fitting to tell you a bit more about what's going on in the superyacht building landscape of Italy. Last week, I think Caroline and Stuart talked to you about the economic impact of yachting as a whole, but this is a bit more focused on construction. And this data comes from a premium report, which we published just today, actually. We wanted to give you a couple of teasers to whet your appetite, just in case you fancy going over to the website and reading the full breakdown. So a couple of things which we dug out were the total length of ordered or under construction yachts in Italy is 22,468 metres. That is
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a lot of boats. That's just ordered under construction.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
And that's across, so 600 total projects which are ordered under construction.
Okay.
And 367, which is the average GT of those projects, so Kind of on the smaller side.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you know how much, what percentage Italy makes up of yachts under construction?
I mean, it's a good chunk, isn't it? But I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, it must be a quarter?
Yeah. Yeah, actually it is. Well, it's 36.9, so pretty.
A bit more than a quarter then.
Yeah, but pretty. You kind of nailed that, I think. Got pretty close.
Thanks, Katia.
No worries, Caroline. Always here for the,
you know, for my pride.
Yeah, confidence boosts. Do you want to tell us about the top five Italian yacht builders?
Yep, sure, Katia. So number one is Azimut Benetti in terms of both total LOA and projects, with 6,014 metres of projects in build or on order. That's 167 projects. San Lorenzo comes in at number two with 4,503 total metres LOA in build or on order, and that's 132 projects. The Italian Sea Group comes in at number three with 1,374 total LOA in meterage and 24 projects. Over Marine comes in at number four with 1,151 meters of projects and 28 projects. Baglietto comes in at number five with 896 total meters LOA and 19 projects. And I should note that the Ferretti Group don't publish their numbers, so we don't know where they would come on that list. We have our suspicions, but we won't mention them now.
Interesting. So the Italian Sea Group has got more meters of yachts, but actually Overmarine, which is in fourth place, so below the Italian Sea Group, have actually got more projects in build. So yeah, it goes to show. And I think the report does dig into this as well, the amount of space that you have for your shed and therefore the size that you can build up to does really come into it when we're talking about the global order book rankings.
I'm sure. Yeah. So Katia, what else can you tell us about the Italian building industry?
Well, I can tell you that they are probably things you already know, Caroline, but the real beginning of the production was in the 70s. There was a huge growth decade after decade from then. They were impacted between 2010 and 2019 following the 2008 crisis, but current results should break all previous records, meaning going forward, they're kind of at their peak. And even if Italy did start producing on a big scale in the 70s, the fleet is still relatively young due to mass production that only really began around the turn of the millennium in 2000. And it's mainly motor yacht production, which is no surprise to anyone. I actually think we have the numbers here. Yes, we do. So they are 594 motor yachts in build or on order versus just 6 sailing yachts.
Wow.
We should also point out that it's over 24 metres. So the Wally Wynn series that we just talked about, some of those may fall under 24 metres, and that's why they're not included in this.
And in terms of yachts being built on spec or semi-custom, do we have that information?
We do, Caroline. Do you want to hazard a guess at the breakdown of, well, not really the breakdown, how many semi-custom projects you think there are out of that whole big number?
So there's
of 600.
600. I would say the vast majority would be semi-custom.
Yep.
I'm not going to give you a number, Katia.
Why? You did so well last time.
Okay, 500.
534. Yeah, pretty good.
Okay, good.
And then on spec, it's quite a low number. I guess that's probably because they've all been bought up, right? There's not really many speculation models floating around. Is that right?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think you should read the report online on our website and you'll find out.
Oh, okay. All right, Caroline. Yes. Well, I'll tell you, the number of on-spec projects is just 114.
Well, thanks, Katia. That was an interesting look at the industry in Italy. That's it for this week, partly because I lost it laughing so many times during our recording that we've run out of time. But thanks for listening to Boat Briefing, which is mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and Adam Geest and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.